जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल बागिरि मन द्वारी यशोरनन्दन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोरनन्दन ब्रज जनरंजन जमुन थिरावन चारे जमुन थिरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल बागिरि मन द्वारी यशोरनन्दन ब्रज जनरंजन जमुन थिरा बन चारे जमुन थिरा बन चारे जय प्रभु पधा जय प्रभु पधा जय प्रभु पधा जय प्रभु पधा जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट अष्टतर सतसी श्रीमन इस दवाई गई ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिव प्रभुपाद की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत श्री गदाधर श्रीवासिनी कहो भक्तिवेदांत की जय सुंदर गोपा गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, continuing the third canto, chapter 22, text number 10. Yada tu bhavata shila. Shuddha rupa vaya vayo gunan Ashrinon naradat isha Tvat asit kritta nischaya Yada tu bhavata shila Shuddha rupa vayo gunan Ashrinon naradat isha Tva asit kritta nischaya Please chant. students. Yada, when, to, but, bhavata, your, shila, noble character, shruta, learning, rupa, beautiful appearance, vaya, youth, gunan, virtues, Ashrinat, heard. Naradat, from Narada Muni. Isha, Devahuti. Twayi, in you. Asit, became. Kritanischaya, fixed in determination. Translation. The moment she heard from the sage Narada of your noble character, learning, beautiful appearance, youth, and other virtues, she fixed her mind upon you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The girl Devahuti did not personally see Kardama Muni, nor did she personally experience his character or qualities, since there was no social interaction by which she could gain such understanding. But she heard about Kardama Muni from the authority of Narada Muni. Hearing from an authority is a better experience than gaining personal understanding. She heard from Narada Muni that Kardama Muni was just fit to be her husband. Therefore, she became fixed in her heart that she would marry him, and she expressed her desire to her father, who therefore brought her before him. Oma jnana tamadandasya jnanjana shalakaya chaksu unmilitamena tasmai sri guruve namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum lam jayati girim yakripa tamaham vande sri gurum dinitarino avanchakopaturibhyascha kripa sindhu bahebacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhara Srivasadi Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna, simply by meditating upon his lotus feet. I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Before we get too far ahead, I want to thank our first-class Mridanga player, very, very capable, and I see the replacement down the road for the likes of our Vishwambar and Krishna Kishore and like that. You have a bright future ahead of you in that regards, now that I've duly embarrassed you. Interesting note from these prayers that we offer to Srimad Bhagavatam. By the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, one attains transcendental bliss. Now, the words of our acharyas here are not incorrect or not mistaken. They're factual. So we should understand that by listening to, reciting, taking part in hearing of the Bhagavatam, we can attain transcendental bliss. But why? Because those syllables shower pure love of God. Now, not all syllables do that. There are many different types of syllables that do not give love of God, do not give any type of benefit other than just sound in the ear. But here we're seeing that by regular attendance at the Bhagavatam class, one can get the transcendental bliss because of the pure love of God in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's worth noting that you've all come here this morning and you're taking part in this, and this gives you the doorway to getting transcendental bliss. So this purport that we're looking at today, it indirectly hints at two processes of learning. One thing that all of you students in here have today in common, whether you're the older group or the youngest group, one thing you all have in common is a quest for knowledge. Now, some of you may not feel like you're on a quest, but the reality is the process of attending school, the process of learning in the classroom, the process of doing one's homework, the process of reading the assignments given, this is all the process of gaining knowledge. This is what one does. This is the path of human life. At a certain point in one's life, the process of gaining knowledge begins. That does not stop once one graduates from school. Okay, I get out of the Gurukula and then I go to college. Okay, well, it doesn't stop then. Okay, I get out of college and then I get my job and I have to learn some skills in my job. It doesn't stop then. The process of acquiring knowledge goes on constantly, whether one is a young person or an old person. Because by gaining knowledge, particularly gaining new knowledge, particularly exposing ourselves to new ideas, we expand our understanding of the world we live in and the particular principles that we're following. In this case, particularly related to the Bhagavatam, we have the principles of education on the spiritual path. Now, there are two types, as I mentioned, of knowledge. One is ascending. Ascending means upward. And one is descending. Descending is downward. Now, generally, we don't want to go down. We want to go up. We want to improve ourselves. But that process of improving ourselves comes from descending knowledge. These are the two paths. One is called Aroha Pantam, and this means ascending knowledge. And this Aroha Pantam is, I shall understand everything by my own abilities. Now, that's not really so practical. If we take any one of you students and put you at the head of the classroom that you're in and expect you to know everything and therefore be able to share that, it becomes a little difficult. This is Aroha Patim. By my own understanding, I will know God. I don't care for any authority. I don't care for any books. I will understand on my own. I will meditate on my own. I will think on my own. I'll philosophize on my own. And by that, I'll understand God. I don't need a teacher. Srila Prabhupada one time made a joking comment. There was one great Mayavadi writer who published a book that you do not need to read any books or listen to any teachers. To which Prabhupada says, so why he has published the book? This is for one's own aggrandizement. So we see that this process of ascending knowledge, of by my own ability, I will learn. All of you sitting here, all of you students, know what you know because you have a teacher. There's 8 or 9, 10 teachers in the room here, and they're all giving you knowledge that increases your understanding. your understanding of mathematics, your understanding of science, your understanding of social interaction, all these different things. And this is the descending process. This is the second process that's mentioned here. Avaroha Panta. Avaroha Panta means to get knowledge from an authority. In the youngest grade here, the youngest grade would be our pre-kindergarten there, but they're not here. So the idea of 2 + 2 = 4 is, wow, that's amazing. Okay, wow, that's incredible. To those of our students in the oldest class here, that's kid stuff. I learned that a bunch of years ago. But now there's geometry. Do you teach trigonometry? Trigonometry also. I hated trigonometry. I couldn't figure it out. Just couldn't grasp it at all. But the understanding of these things is because it's descending. It's coming down from someone that does know and is giving that to you, right? Just like, I think there's probably a handful. Raise your hand if you're in the 16-year-old, 17-year-old age group. We must have some of those. No? Nobody? No, I know you little girls aren't. At any rate, once you get to that threshold of 16 years old, there is an opportunity available to you. That is called a driver's permit, something that your mother and your father are fearful of every day of your youth. So you get a driver's permit, but it's not simply handed out to you. From the descending process of the person teaching you how to drive, you have to learn to drive that vehicle because it carries great responsibility and great risk. If you don't drive the vehicle properly, there can be an accident. Depending on what you're doing in that accident, it could be life-threatening. So descending knowledge means here's how you properly do something that you're going to want to do, something that you're going to have to do, but that you can't learn to do on your own. I remember very clearly teaching all three of my children how to drive a car, taking them to a big vacant parking lot somewhere and letting them drive around because they didn't have the idea how to stay in the lines or turning properly and all these things. So descending knowledge gives you that understanding. In the same way, we are on the spiritual path, and our understanding on the spiritual path is descending as well, coming from authority. We have the Mahajans. These 12 great personalities have imparted knowledge unto us. We have our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. We have our teachers. We have our parents. They're all giving us descending knowledge, sometimes more than we would like to have to listen to, especially as we get a little closer to that driving permit age. The interest in listening to what our parents are telling us becomes less and less sometimes. At any rate, so the same is there when we're trying to understand Krishna, when we're trying to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't understand it by our own strength, because we don't have much mental strength. It has to be given to us. Senses are imperfect. In the introduction to the Sri Shopanasad, there is a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Geneva, and he talks very strongly about these four defects of the living entities. And one of them is that the senses are imperfect. We can't detect with our senses alone everything going on. I know that there's a kitchen back there. I've been in that kitchen. I can't see that kitchen, so I can't tell you right now exactly what's going on in there because my eyes do not have X-ray vision. Now, we might like to think that there's some personalities from the Marvel Universe that have X-ray vision and whatever, but in reality, it doesn't exist. So this X-ray vision doesn't allow me because my senses are imperfect. Therefore, I can't understand. Now, if someone from the kitchen, Janaka was just here, if he comes in and tells me, in the kitchen, we're doing this, this, and this, oh, now I understand, because I've received descending knowledge from someone that knows about what's going on there. So this process of trying to understand things on our own, gyane prayasham, we should give it up. Attempting to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead on our own. I shall know, I shall manufacture my own way. Prabhupada uses these quotes. He says, this is all going on nowadays. Now, everyone is thinking the rebellious idea of the living entity, why should I accept authority? Well, in the classroom, if you're very rebellious, and if you don't accept the authority of the teacher, and you refuse to cooperate with your fellow students, your ability to learn is not only impaired, but it interferes with others' ability to learn. So this is why we have to accept an authority. This is our duty, actually, to accept an authority. I mean, we're accepting authority right off. The minute we're born, our mother and our father are authority, predominantly our mother, because we've come from our mother. She's nursing us. We have this intimate relationship there. And if we want to know who is the father, Prabhupada gives the example. We can go to every man in the universe. Are you my father? 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 That's a very tedious process. But if we just ask our mother, who is my father? Oh, this is your father. Because she knows, and she can tell us. So, therefore, this idea of hearing is essential from our very beginning. From our very beginning. And one should not have a challenging mood. Inquiry is necessary. Inquiry is how we understand better, but challenging is a whole different thing. So this is why in the classroom, as I say, you know, you've got a teacher, you all listen together, you know, you can guess what's right or wrong on your own, or you can take the teachings as it's given. There's a famous comic strip character named Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. I see another Calvin and Hobbes fan here. I'll share my books with you. At any rate, Calvin is always making things up. He never studies for his tests. He's always asking his classmate Susie for the answer, and she's always intentionally giving him the wrong answer. And because he's not studied, because he hasn't listened, because he hasn't heard anything from he always gets it wrong. So he randomly is putting down answers on the test, and guess what? Calvin fails the test every time. So as entertaining as that comic strip may be, we don't want to be like Calvin. We want to submissively learn from those who can teach us. We want to actually have the humility to admit, I don't know. I don't understand trigonometry. Can somebody please explain this to me? Now, whether or not you're going to need trigonometry when you grow up, I've never used it that I'm aware of, but the teachers are already correcting me. So, yes. But this is the humility that is required for being able to learn. Now, Devahuti in this particular... No, we don't do questions right now. Devahuti in this particular scenario has not met Kardama Muni yet. In this particular circumstance, there is no interaction between them. But she has heard all about him from Narada Muni. And this, as we might say, kind of gets the ball rolling. And this is exactly what Narada Muni is famous for. If we look through all periods of history, we see that Narada Muni is there, as they say, boiling the milk, moving things along. Now, how is that so through so many different scenarios? Because according to the Vedic literature, Narada Muni is an eternal living being. He's what's called Chiranjeevi, immortal. He possesses a spiritual body, and that's not subject to the ordinary laws of birth, death, old age, and disease. Just imagine that. Now, he's often referred to as the eternal spaceman because he can travel anywhere in any material universe, in any spiritual universe, just by his own desire, with no restriction. Okay, so he lives eternally, but how long does he live? What is his actual birth? So Narada Muni lives for the entire duration of the creation and destruction of the universe, the lifetime of Lord Brahma, which is, are you ready? 311 trillion human years. That's a lot of birthday celebrations. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a new gift every year. I don't think that's possible. So 311 trillion human years is the lifespan. And this is one of the reasons that Narada Muni is accepted as a Shaktivesh avatar, as an empowered incarnation of the Lord for the purpose of spreading the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it's interesting that this verse today is mentioning Narada Muni because today is the appearance day of Srivas Pandit. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas, and Kavi Karnapur, another very great acharya, have both written books telling us who in Krishna Leela is who in Gaura Leela. You've heard me refer to this many times. Now, in Kavi Karnapur's book, Gaura Gonadesha Deepika, in verse 90, it describes, intelligent Srivas Pandit has previously been Narada Muni, the best of sages. Srivas's younger brother, Sriram Pandit, has previously been Narada's best friend, Parvat Muni. It's so unfortunate you all leave now because you're going to miss all the great nectar about Srivas, but we'll share it later. So, Srivas Pandit plays a very significant role in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes it like this. It was in Srivas Pandit's house that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted his pastimes for Sankirtan. The four brothers, Srivas, Sriram, Sripati, and Srinidhi, were continuously engaged in singing the holy names of the Lord. They worshiped Lord Krishna and daily bathed three times in the Ganga. So these activities that Mahaprabhu formulated for his Sankirtan movement began in the home of Srivas Pandit. This is how essential Srivas Pandit is to the pastimes of the Lord. Now, these four brothers, as I mentioned, they previously lived in a town called Srihatta, in the general area there, but a bit away. And then they eventually came and moved and lived in the area of Navadvip. They regularly attended the Bhagavat speakings at the home of Advaita Acharya and always engaged in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And these brothers became very close friends with Jagannath Mishra. Now that right there indicates to us a bit about their age. They have appeared before the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're the associates of Mahaprabhu's father. This means they're considerably older than Mahaprabhu. So in this way, we find that they're part of that elder community that made their appearance for the Lord's pastimes before the Lord actually made his pastimes. Now, Srivas Pandit's wife, her name is Malini Devi, and she was also a very close friend of Sachimata. And she was always extremely helpful to Sachimata, kind of like an aunt, you might say. And it was Malini who was engaged in attending to Sachi Devi and Srivas, who was assisting Jagannath Mishra at the time that Mahaprabhu made his appearance. They were very, very parental in their relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also with Nityananda Prabhu, but that's a whole other story, which we'll have to save for another class. So even though in his childhood, the Lord exhibited many supernatural pastimes, we know these stories from having read them, still, due to his deluding potency, his yoga maya, these devotees could not understand that our little Nimaya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is explained because if I think my child is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how am I ever going to correct him? How am I ever going to guide them? How am I ever going to educate them? This is all required in parental relationships. Therefore, Yogamaya covered them, and they simply understood that their son was their sweet son. So Srivas and Malini would give much advice to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra about how to properly raise their son. And like I say, they were just like co-parents, you know. Now, young Nimai, we've read this before, young Nimai at a certain point in his student life was a little arrogant. You know, he became a little proud of himself. And so one day, Srivas, in a very kind, fatherly mood, said to him, "My dear boy, why do people study? They study so that they might gain an understanding of what is devotion to Lord Krishna." So this right there was a very important understanding of the spiritual connection Srivas has. We don't study just to get a degree. We don't study to get a PhD or whatever. We study, he instructs him, so that we can understand Krishna. So then he says, if by scholarship one does not gain devotion to Krishna, then what good is all that learning? So he's indirectly pointing out to Nimai, who's become a little proud of his own scholarship, because at this point in his life, he's already got his own students. He's already doing his own teaching. And he's become a little proud of this. This is all his pastimes. And so Srivas says to him, if we don't get devotion to Krishna from such scholarship, what's the point of it? How does it help anybody? It becomes simply a tedious endeavor, which is nothing more than a waste of time. Now, sometimes we may look at a particular class assignment and think just that. This is tedious, and it's just a waste of my time. But let us remember, that is the mentality of our friend Calvin, that all this studying and all this is all tedious, useless. But for us, we're able to understand everything is a tool to become more Krishna conscious. Srivas continues, if you actually learn something and want to know what the benefit of that is, learn to worship Sri Krishna now. Do it very quickly. This is the real purpose of your life. So you're all very fortunate that you've got teachers that are giving you the basics, science, math, literature, all the different subjects, but they're giving it to you in relationship to Krishna. And therefore, you don't have to separate the two. So when Nimai heard this, he laughed. And he appreciated the genuine and sincere nature of what Srivas was saying to him. And he said, by your mercy, this will come to be. If you are kind to me, then I will definitely attain the devotion to Sri Krishna's lotus feet. Now, this statement right here really hones in on the point of today's verse, this descending process. Okay, you want me to get this, you want me to develop this love for Krishna through my understanding, but I can't do it without your mercy, without your blessings. In other words, you're giving that, you're passing that down to me. And this is the relationship we have with our senior spiritual leaders, with our senior community members, with our parents, with our teachers, is that they're lovingly giving us that knowledge so that we can attain devotion to Krishna's lotus feet. So now it was shortly after this that Mahaprabhu made his journey to Gaya, where he performed the pastimes of accepting initiation from Ishwar Puri, and then began his path on the goal of distributing devotion to Sri Krishna. And so when he returned to Navadvip, he entered the house of Srivas. And he addressed Srivas. Now, this place is called Srivas Angam. It's still standing to this day. You can go there and see all these places. It's very, very nice. I was fortunate to give class on Srivas at Srivas's house and getting his mercy like that. So Mahaprabhu said to Srivas, he said, Srivas, whom do you worship? Now, if I ask any of you, oh, Radhasham Sundar, oh, Krishna Balaram, you know, we've each got a particular deity, which, by the way, I should point out to you, we all see that Balaram has his club today. Here's a little phrase for you to keep in mind. When the club is near, there is no fear. I like that, huh? should get that tattooed when the club is near there. Anyway, so at any rate, Srivas is addressed by the Lord. Who do you worship? Who do you meditate upon? Now, with your own two eyes, see that that person you worship and meditate on is standing here before you. Now, if any one of us made such a statement, that would be, back to this word we used earlier, quite arrogant. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to reveal his supreme divinity to Srivas. So Mahaprabhu does something really unusual. He walks into Srivas's house and he sits down on the altar. Now, here again, our altar's a little tall, fortunately. Some temples, the altar is just one little step and people can walk right up on it, and I've seen that happen. And whoa, wait a minute. I actually had it happen here one time. We had to pull someone off. They climbed up on the altar. So this is not to be done. But Mahaprabhu walks in, he sits right, just imagine that seat right there. One of us just walks up and sits right down there. Quite a horrible thought. But Mahaprabhu does it. And when he sat down, he then revealed his four-armed form of Vishnu. And what was in each of those four arms? Somebody tell me one of them. Yes? Concha? What's that? Lotus? Some of the ladies? Girls? No? Yes? Concha? Chakra. And then I just gave the last one. Okay. So these four items are there in the hands of Lord Vishnu. And when Mahaprabhu sat down on Srivas's altar, he manifested this form. Now, the word used by Vrindavan Das Thakur to describe the effect this had on Srivas was stupefied. We have this root word of stupefied is stupid. But stupefied means that my senses have become confused, bewildered. So Lord Gauranga called out to him and said, due to your Sankirtan activities and to the loud roaring prayers of Advaita Acharya, I have left Vaikuntha and descended, here again this word, descended to this mortal realm, accompanied by all my associates, and I will destroy the miscreants and deliver the pious. Now, without fear, praise me, sing my glories. Here again, from anybody other than the personality of Godhead, this would be incredibly arrogant to say. So hearing these words, Srivas fell to the ground, as you can imagine, offered obeisances, and then began to recite various prayers, glorifying. One of those prayers is given here. My obeisances to the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Sri Vishvambara, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, and wore garments which are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of peacock feathers and red gunjamala beads. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the student of Gangadas, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of a million moons. My obeisances to your lotus feet, who carry a buffalo horn, a stick, and a flute. Wait a minute, we just said he had four arms and he carried the chakra. So what form is carrying a buffalo horn, a stick, and a flute? What form? That form. I should not point that form. He's carrying the buffalo horn, the stick, and the flute. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, I offer my obeisances again and again and again. Today, the great fortune of my eyes is completed beyond all calculation because I've been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So in this way, Srivas describes Sri Gaurasundar, and Sri Gaurasundar becomes very, very compassionate upon Srivas and reveals this form not only to Srivas, but to all of his family members. That means his four brothers, that means his wife Malini, that means the wives of his three brothers, rather, that means that the wives of them, their children, they all were able to perceive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his divine form. Now, At this time, Ramai Pandit's daughter, Narayani, was in the room, and Srivas was, had brought her forward. Mahaprabhu saw her, and he called. He said, Narayani, Narayani, come, come. She's a little girl, 4 years old. No, come, 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 Narayani, come. Here, sit on my lap. Now, cry for Krishna with tears in your eyes. And even though the girl was only 4 years old, she began to chant very loudly the Hare Krishna mantra and shedding tears in ecstasy. This was all by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's no age limitations on experiencing ecstasy. There's no age limitations on understanding pure love of God. It's available to all of us. Now, when Srivas's wife, Malini, and all the house servants saw this transformation of Narayani, they all cried tears of love as well. And then the courtyard of Srivas's home became flooded with everyone's tears of love of God. Now, at that time, one of the maidservants had the responsibility for bringing the water from the Ganges for the household use. Remember, this was a time before taps. Now we want water, we just go into the sink and turn it on, and let's suppose a pipe breaks. Oh, it's the greatest disturbance. I don't have any water. Well, you know, I mean, I'm used to just, we don't even think about it. We just go to the bathroom or to the kitchen or, you know, outside of the hose and just turn the water on as much as we want, endless supply, until the pipe breaks. So this wasn't the way it was then. One servant had the duty to take pots and buckets and go to the Ganga, collect them, and bring that back. And so this servant's name was Dukhi. Dukhi means unhappy, sorrowful. So Gaurasundar, he asked, who brings this water every day for the house? He was told, Dukhi brings it. And the Lord said, Dukhi? Why shouldn't anyone in the home of Srivas be sad? From this day, her name is Sukhi, one who is always very happy. So in this way, Mahaprabhu, in the house of Srivas, distributed his mercy to everyone. Now, when Sri Gauranga began to manifest externally his Yuga Avatar activities, this was in the house of Srivas, as I mentioned, and he was reunited with Nityananda, and this kirtan would go up in the evening. It's called Srivasangam, as I mentioned, and this was the place that the Sankirtan began. Now, one evening, while they were all engaged in Sankirtan at the house, everyone was there, one of the sons of Srivas Thakur passed away. And he had some type of a disease, and the time came and he departed. Now, this was within the inner compartments of the home, and the women began to cry piteously because, prince of the family, so to speak, had died, and Srivas was outside in the courtyard, and he heard this crying, and he thought some tragedy must have taken place. So he came in, and he understood that, oh, my son has departed. He said, this is not very good, but I do not want to interrupt Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine kirtan pastimes. So ladies, please don't cry so loud, and I will restrain and wait till later to show my grief. He said, if during the last moments this child heard the Lord's name during kirtan, then he's greatly benefited, so there is no need to cry. So at any rate, Mahaprabhu could understand something had happened. So he asked Srivas, he said, Srivas, he said, what's going on? Something has happened in the home? And Srivas said, no, nothing has happened. By your grace, how can anything be bad? He said, no, I'm feeling there's something, you know, has taken place here. There's some type of unhappiness in your home. Finally, after pressing him, Srivas confided in him, yes, he said, my son has departed. He said, why didn't you tell me? Please take me to see him. So Mahaprabhu went in, and he began to see that this child is there. So the pastime continues that Sri Gaurasundar saw the child, and he touched the boy. And he said, my dear child, why are you leaving the most auspicious home of Srivas Pandit? And by the touch of Mahaprabhu, life returned to that child. And the child responded. He said, I have come and stayed as many days as I was allowed. My time is now elapsed and I must leave. My Lord, I've taken birth and died many, many times. But this time, dying, I heard your holy names. I saw your lotus face. Therefore, I'm greatly benefited. And then saying that, the child again became silent and went back to the spiritual world. So Srivas was, of course, disturbed by losing his son. But Mahaprabhu told him, since myself and Nityananda are like your own two sons, so don't feel any distress. Don't feel any distress at all of what's happened. And in this way, all of the residents in the family were completely satisfied. So during the pastimes that took place at Srivas's house, one benediction was given by Mahaprabhu to Srivas, and that benediction is this. There will never be any poverty in your home. If you simply remain indoors and never venture outside of your house to do any type of work, whatever you require for worship and for family maintenance will come to your door. You will never be in need of anything. So this is the blessing given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srivas, that he would be able to always be very comfortably settled in his devotional service. Something that wouldn't be a bad thing for some of us to get. So we'll finish there today. Any comments or questions? I don't, see the usual commenter and questioners. So, all right, we'll finish there. Thank you all very much. We can try during the day to remember Srivas Pandit, to remember his activities as Narada Muni, and to read about these activities in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.